Hello, thanks for the opportunity to be here today. I'm actually presenting on behalf of my colleagues, Larry Cohen, our Executive Director of Prevention Institute, and Rachel Davis and Dr. Tony Eiten, who used to be the former Director and Health Officer in Alameda County, but is now working at the California Endowment. And I have no relationships to disclose. So just borrowing from a quote from Dr. West yesterday, if you're concerned about justice, you want fairness for everyone, not just for your side of town. And when we're talking about health inequities, we're also talking about differences in health that are unfair and unjust. And that's what really brings us here today in terms of the presentation that I'm going to be doing, is really kind of starting to think about what are some local solutions to reduce inequities in health and safety. And just to give you an example of Oakland, California, where Prevention Institute is located and also where I live, this is a map in California. We're right here where it says Alameda County. But if you look at the differences between an African-American child born in West Oakland, which is a higher poverty, has higher poverty status, has more violent rates in that area, an African-American child born there can expect to die 15 years earlier than a Caucasian person born in the Oakland Hills, where it's a neighborhood that there's a lot more resources, higher socioeconomic status. And, you know, just from the moment of birth, you know, an African-American child is at a disadvantage. And also another statistics that came out of Alameda County's work was that for every $12,500 in family income, one additional year of life expectancy is to increase. And so, you know, this is not just about Oakland, California, but this is happening all across the country. And really, if we want to have a vision of opportunities for everyone to be healthy, we really need to have this vision of a sustainable system for health, for safety, and for equity. And so this vision includes health requirements that meet the needs of the entire US population, and also prioritizes those most in need. And so today we'll be outlining some strategies to do that. So some challenges that are faced when you're trying to do policy and practice to address health inequities. One, we haven't embraced health inequities at its root. There's no playbook on how to do this. This is also, you know, there's a lot of work done, but we still also need to figure out how to continue to do this work and how to bring it to scale. Also, our system is very siloed. You know, it's really nice to hear about some of the work that's really embracing different fields, different sectors, and kind of coming up with some of the solutions. But right now, our system is still pretty fairly siloed and has a more fragmented approach. Also, community-based, family-centered primary care is not a medical emphasis. There's still disparities in healthcare, and it's not an organizational priority amongst many of the U.S. hospitals. And also, health equity, while we think it's important, it's still not fundamentally embedded in most people's job descriptions. And so today I'd like to just briefly share with you this report that Prevention Institute published along with Dr. Eiten, A Time of Opportunity, Local Solutions to Reduce Inequities in Health and Safety. And we produced this for the Institute of Medicine Roundtable on Health Disparities last May. So I think this is coming at a very good time in the sense that there's a lot more support for community prevention, more attention on the healthcare reform work that's going on. So there's a lot of opportunities to really kind of change the way that we've been doing our work currently. So some two major critical needs is, one, we need a coherent healthcare system that's comprehensive, that's culturally and linguistically appropriate, it's affordable, it's accessible. We also need to think about prevention and, you know, preventing people from getting sick in the first place, and really thinking about what are prevention strategies that are really going to start addressing underlying factors that determine our health before we start getting sick and getting injured. And thinking about how those two systems, our healthcare system and also our prevention system, how they can be mutually supportive of each other and really work and align together. So please disregard the heading, that's actually incorrect. But one of this report kind of underscores the importance of really trying to understand what the path is to that leads to health inequities. And so this is an example of the work that we're doing that represents kind of a pathway, how the environment, exposure and behaviors, how healthcare all leads, can lead to improving or exacerbating injuries and illnesses and inequities. And so I want to share with you this framework that we put together to help people understand how to get to prevention. And this is outlined in the report. But just very briefly, I'll kind of go through to share with you kind of the way we're thinking about this. So one, you start with healthcare services. So you're thinking about the leading causes of death, cancer, stroke, injury, those types of things. And you think about what is the treatment? What is the after after it already has occurred, and what are we going to do about that? So we know that there are inequities in our healthcare system. Unequal treatment, also by the Institute of Medicine, is starting to address how can we start making changes in our healthcare system to address inequities. But we also know that that's not enough, that healthcare is not the primary determinant of health, so we also have to take a step and look at how exposures and behaviors lead to some of the issues that require people to get healthcare services. So research, as many of you have probably seen this, also links the exposures and behaviors such as, you know, poor diet, physical inactivity, tobacco use, either smoking yourself or being exposed to second or third hand tobacco smoke, and also drinking alcohol and using drugs all lead to these different illnesses and injuries. But we also want to take another step and look at the environment. And we know that there's a critical role, and I think more efforts and research is showing the critical role of the community environment and how it shapes behaviors. So this is, and it could either in an environment like this, and this is taken in Oakland, California, where people don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables, and they're being bombarded with images of alcohol use, tobacco marketing, those types of things. And so this is an environment that would hinder people to be able to engage in healthier behaviors. So here, in this trajectory of health inequities, we see a key opportunity to really focus on some concrete strategies to reduce inequities at the community environment level. And these are, I'm not going to go through every single one. I know that we're short on time, but these are just examples of some elements in the community that that contribute to health outcomes and safety outcomes. And here we have a cluster around equitable opportunity, place, just the picture I showed you around the liquor store, you know, what's sold, how it's promoted, feeling safe in your community, also people having a strong social network, what are the norms in that community that, you know, foster, that really support good health, and also healthcare services, and what can you be doing at a prevention level. And the other thing that's really important, especially in this economic kind of situation that our country is in, really understanding and really advocating that prevention does save money. And so we also helped with a report that shows that prevention, you can actually save a lot of money. For $1 of investment, you get a return on investment a dollar after 2 years, but after 5 years, you get $5.60. And that really comes out to $16 billion saved in 5 years. And so I want to kind of, thank you, get to the recommendations. So we took a four-pronged approach in thinking about what are some local solutions. One, it's around strengthening communities where people live, work, play, and learn. And also, the second part is really strengthening the healthcare system and making sure there are opportunities for underserved communities. They're able to access high-quality, affordable healthcare that's really tailored to the diverse communities that are receiving these services. Building the infrastructure of the health system to reduce inequities, and also support local efforts through leadership and policies at local, state, and national level. So I'll just very quickly highlight recommendations in each of these four areas. So the first one, I'm not going to read through all 10, but you can find this on page 10 of the report, which can be found on our website, www.preventioninstitute.org. But just to give you some examples of some community prevention strategies increasing housing quality, affordability, stability, and proximity to resources. So not just thinking about, okay, we'll redo this housing place for certain communities, but then also making sure they're linking to essential services and not being displaced from their original community. Improving the air, water, and soil quality. We know that there's a lot of injustices around toxins and being exposed, and especially for communities of color and low-income communities. So that's another, just another recommendation. Supporting healthy food systems and the health and well-being of farmers and farm workers. They're also another population that also is, you know, there are some inequities in health, you know, being exposed to toxins and those types of things as well. And also, you know, healthy food is also, you know, a strong determinant of people's health. In addition to community prevention strategies, like I said, healthcare system, we need to have a really strong healthcare system that emphasizes prevention, access, and quality, and making sure that equity is also integrated into the equation. And we have 10 recommendations. You know, providing, like I said, high quality, affordable healthcare, making sure things are culturally and linguistically appropriate. Another in the first presentation by Patricia, you know, promoting a medical home model. So, you know, hers was one example of what you would might want to do around asthma. In terms of the system recommendation, thinking about the health system infrastructure, we have 7 recommendations. One is expanding community mapping and indicators, and not just looking at traditional indicators, but other indicators that are demonstrating kind of where, in terms of mapping out determinants of health things, like where are grocery stores in a community, where is it walkable and bikeable, where are the, you know, public transit places where people can access that. So those are other ways to kind of broaden our thinking around community indicators. Health inequity in all policy, you know, taking the this notion of health impact assessments, thinking about how decisions are made, and that's also going to require interdisciplinary collaboration if we're going to make decisions that impact health and safety. And then lastly, overarching recommendations that support local efforts. So developing a national strategy and commitment, and some of you may know that the federal government right now is working on a national prevention and promotion strategy. So that's just one opportunity where you can provide some input around this work. If you want to really, you know, make sure that health equity is addressed in the strategy, providing federal resources to support state and local community-based prevention strategies, tackling the inequitable distribution of power, money, and resources. There's structural drivers of conditions that people experience on a daily basis. And improving access to quality education and improve educational outcomes. So I just want to leave you with this quote: if we do not change the direction, we are likely to end up where we are headed. And there really needs to be a fundamental shift in the way we're doing work, the way we're thinking about solutions, and really kind of broadening kind of what we are already currently doing. And this is really our time and opportunity to really start changing the lives of every individual in the communities that are in most need. Thank you.